Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never. And as a matter of fact, we have actually a very different show. I don't think I alluded to some of the things we're going to cover today for Feedback Friday. But I have some information that's actually coming out of Temecula, California. And I want you to understand, in Riverside, Temecula is in Riverside County. And Riverside County has probably more conservative Republicans. I'm using this word conservative in context to the dangerous term that I have set forth. Because conservatives want certain things, but they do not understand the Constitution and how what they want is actually just as bad. And so, and I know I'm insulting people, and I'm really not trying to. I know you may feel insulted. We need to get past your feelings, and we need to actually look at what the Constitution is designed to do and what government needs to be doing, instead of saying we've got to create laws for all of these things. No, we just can't create laws if the power is not within the government. And I'll say it again. If the power is not enumerated within that Constitution for the government to exercise that power, then they can't do it, nor can you create a law regarding it. In other words, if it's not enumerated, they can't meddle with it. So why do we need a law regarding something that they're already meddling with? This is how they suck you in to doing the bad things that they're doing. As you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And so I can't emphasize enough, folks, how important it is, what we cover on the show and what we're doing, and how you can easily start getting involved in this process. Now, one of the things that we could do on the obligatory side is we've been really promoting the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Now, I know this isn't the New York Times, and I know that this is not, and as you read this, because I haven't even received it yet, but I don't have high expectations of, you know, literary, you know, impressions like the Iliad or, you know, War and Peace or Mark Twain's, you know, what is it? What was Huckleberry Finn? Yeah, I think it was Huckleberry Finn. Or any of his works or any of the great authors, even Thomas Jefferson's Notes on the State of Virginia. And so what we need to actually start doing is we need to start at least reporting the different sides of the issue. Even though you may have a conservative side of the issue, your side may not be correct. We have to start challenging our own paradigms, and we have to start realizing, because even yours truly may be wrong. I'll be willing to admit, and there are times when people kind of point out, oh, you know, I didn't see it that way. And folks, there is nothing wrong to admit that you didn't see something that way, because we are all steeped in our biases of how we see things. And so to change how we see things really requires work on our part to actually start seeing things through different lenses, because the lenses that you have today are the lenses you created. These are things of how you interacted, and this goes back to, you know, going through your informative years as a baby and how you began to receive and provide feedback to the world, receive information from the world and provide feedback, whether that be your engagements and interactions with your parents, your siblings, and as you grow and your circle of influence grows, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we are products of our life. And if we start acknowledging that we need to actually challenge our positions, because it's far better to be right and dying for the right thing than dying for something that actually caused a bigger problem. I mean, you know, it's. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, you know, when we went camping, one of the things that, you know, it wasn't necessarily a motto, but it was a, I don't have a better word for it. So it was one of the practices that we applied every time we went into a campsite. We wanted to make that campsite, when we left it, better than when we got there. In other words, if there was trash there, we picked that up. If it was, you know, disheveled or damaged or what have you, we made improvements. And we did that all the time. And that kind of attitude actually helps. And that's an enlightenment attitude, by the way, folks. If we're trying to actually improve, not necessarily improve our paradigm, but actually make tangible improvements. Picking up litter is a tangible improvement when you walk into a campsite or when you walk along the side of the road. And as a matter of fact, you know, if you litter, stop. That's a tangible improvement right there. Anyway, I don't want to go down a lot of rat holes because I can do that easily, because we've got a lot of stuff to cover. And so I've got 3 minutes to kind of wrap up. So let me go through these really quickly. As you know, if you're looking for quality furnishings, Timber Nation with American hardwood. Go to timbernation.com. Take a look at the desk. I still haven't gotten there. The integration of everything I'm trying to do to get this studio done and the final phases of what we need to do, and anybody that's been here that has kind of seen what I'm doing and so forth, it's not easy, especially being a little handicapped. And, you know, only being able to get, you know, I take my little victories, you know, in stride. And I take my setbacks, you know, hard. So anyway, we're getting there. We will get the images up. And when we have the images up to Timber Nation for this desk, it's actually a broadcasting table, because I don't want a big desk. And space is a premium, especially when you got to put a lot of stuff in it. So I don't like the big clunky desk. I had one, and I paid way too much money for it. And I think probably before I die, I want to actually, you know, sledgehammer that thing to, you know, into pieces. All of its pieces that came from China or wherever it came from. Anyway, so timbernation.com if you're looking for quality furnishings, and Add Local. You need to reach out to Add Local. And as a matter of fact, I'm trying to work this out so I can tell you right now what the price would be if you're running for office to actually get this template that they're going to create for, you know, setting up a website so that you, one, have a website, you're communicating your ideas, you know, you're putting your positions out there, as well as a mechanism for people to actually help fund you. Because you need to have that donation page. You need to be able to let people online contribute to your campaign. And so we're hoping to get a hold of Ad Local today. I tried yesterday. And so as soon as we have the information, I want to give that to you. Okay? Our comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go into break, and we're going to come right back from break and talk to Douglas V. Gibbs. In other words, we're not going to do any promos or anything. Outbreak, and then boom, we're going to be talking to Douglas Gibbs. And then when we're done with that, we're going to go straight into another break. We will have what we'll call a quick promo. We're going to do one, and then we're going to come back from that. And then I'm going to try something completely different. This is that, what I told you about, a sad message to conservatives for my Feedback Friday. And this is all in line to some of the feedback I got regarding Art MacCumber and my position regarding conservatives, and understanding that, you know, you're not bad people, not at all. You're just a part of the problem. Most conservatives don't even realize that. They think that they're really doing good things, and they think that they're contributing to, you know, to better a better life, but you are not getting anywhere closer to establishing state sovereignty and establishing your rights and sovereignty unless you're doing very specific acts. And those acts are republic review and holding public servants accountable and so forth. So when we come right back, I'm going to be talking to Doug Gibbs about the communist Chinese in America. Folks, we have Douglas V. Gibbs. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, I guest hosted. We were going to be on together, but I ended up guest hosting your show a couple of weeks ago. So how was your event?
Went really well. Thank you. Conservative Conference. I got a chance to actually talk to Sebastian Gorka for a moment. Overall, it was a great event. I have a regular caller to my radio show named JB. It actually stopped by to say hello. It was nice to put a face to a voice.
Awesome. Awesome. So, folks, the reason why I asked Doug to be on today is because when the last time we kind of spoke, he provided some information regarding a camera system. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and let you just give the 411 or all the details that you got. Because currently, as I understand this, based on our text yesterday, there is still not any reports in the news. Nobody's reporting this going on, right?
Not that I've seen. And, you know, I've got a friend of mine, as a matter of fact, who is doing some investigative work on it. And he told me he would send me everything he has. And I just haven't gotten it yet. So what I'm reporting on is word of mouth of what I was told, in other words, from a member of the city council of Temecula and this particular individual who is a former journalist and he now does some local journalism in our area.
Okay, so what's the details?
All right, so we have 483 cameras so far. 483 cameras that have been installed in the city of Temecula. This is in Southern California, about midway between San Diego and Los Angeles, for those of you who are not in Southern California or not familiar with the area. And Temecula, Murrieta, Menifee, it's kind of a growing area, and we are surrounded by some relatively rural areas, and then you've got these three cities right next to each other that the three combined are well over a quarter of a million people. And Temecula is the commerce center, really, of the three. And so Temecula, a relatively conservative town, especially for California standards, has a city council that we scratch our heads about once we see them starting to vote. And there's only one member of that city council, Jessica Alexander, who I believe is really on target and on the ball. And so she and I were talking, and she says, yeah, Doug, they've installed. And I want you to really understand, as we talk about this, how deep this goes, that they installed 483 cameras in the city for surveillance. And they've even used that word, surveillance. So they're not being shy about the purpose. Of course, it's for your own safety. It's to make sure that we can catch crime and so on and so forth. Because, you know, we're a burgeoning city. We need to make sure, you know, that, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So Temecula's got these cameras they put in. And then the company that's behind it is called Convergence. Let me repeat that name. It's Convergence, C-O-N-V-E-R-G-I-N-C-E, Convergence. And Convergent, G-I-N-T. And you can go to, you can find their site, C-O-N-V-E-R-G-I-N-T.com, convergent.com. And when you look up their site, you'll notice that there's kind of a left-wing progressive kind of tint to it, but it's really about security. Then if you keep looking through that site, you'll find that they are attached to and a part of a company called ID Security. And this is where it gets interesting. ICD Security, ICDSecurity.com. And when you go to ICDSecurity.com, the first thing you see is a big giant picture of a whole bunch of Chinese. And it says Asia's Trusted Security Services Provider.
Interesting.
Huh. Interesting. Providing expert security services across the Asia-Pacific region, it is our mission to be our customer's best service provider. That's what you have on the cover. Then you get to looking a little deeper. It's a Chinese company, a communist Chinese company.
So that's
this company is Convergent. They are not just partners. They are one and the same. They work together. I don't know if they're merged or what, but if you go to that main page on ICDSecurity.com, you go to the lower right-hand corner, their logo, ICD's logo, and Convergence logo are right next to each other.
Okay. I was going to ask you what the URL is. So, again, it is ICD security.com.
And you can go to, like I said, Convergent, and you don't even have to have Convergence because their link is on the site a few times. So,
okay.
And then you go to About Us.
Okay.
And then you start looking into About Us, where we're at. And as you study this website, you see more and more how tied into and how directly connected to China they are. Now, here's why this is important. So, well, okay, Doug, you know, that we have global corporations. They're all over the place. What's the big deal? Well, in China, you're not allowed. If you're a company in China, whether you're any company, if you're out of China, if you have headquarters in China, anything, you're not allowed to hide anything. You're not allowed to have a firewall. They have full access to everything.
Right.
When I say they, I mean the communist government, the communist China, the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
And so that means that the Chinese Communist Party has access to everything that you do as a company, and what you're doing as a company is surveilling Temecula, California. And Temecula is not the first city to do this or the only city to do this. And matter of fact, among my friend Rick's paperwork, I asked him for a list of the cities in the United States that have hired this particular company. And so I asked Jessica, well, gosh, Jessica, why would the board go with a company that's attached to Communist China? And she says, well, for two reasons. Number one, because they were the cheapest. I said, really? They were able to lowball everybody. She says, well, of course, because China is subsidizing so that they can undercut everybody. Said, whoa. All right. So you said there's a second thing. And she says, yes, they don't understand. They don't understand what's going on here. I asked. I'm not going to give them all of their names because I can't remember all the names that she talked to who when. But she says, I asked. And it was one of the male ones. There's three males, two females on this board. And she says, I asked, do you know what Big Brother is? And he says, what do you mean? Big Brother, you know, the global surveillance Big Brother, you know, 1984, George Orwell. And he says, no, I'm not familiar. She says, are you kidding me? And so she's telling me they not only don't see the danger, they have no clue that there might be one.
Yeah, so one of the things I mentioned in my text was Real ID Act. Are you familiar with the Real ID Act? And do you know that all 50 states have now become compliant?
Yes, I still haven't gotten mine yet, though.
Okay, so and interesting because California, I mean, driver's licenses and everything else, California was one of the first states to get on board with.
Yeah, no, I have an Oregon license now.
Oh, okay.
And so, Oregon actually bucked it for a while.
Well, yeah, so did Washington and a few other. There were like 16 states or something like that. But slowly, over time, they just started caving. And right. They just became compliant. Well, so bottom line is that they have this capability now that all ID is being registered into this database because they're taking these images of your face and uploading it so that they have basically your fingerprint or your face ID so that they can actually identify who you are and where you are. So the
facial recognition, right?
Right. So the concept of the state, the police, being able to do a surveillance, not just tapping you, but to actually tail you and surveil you, at what point is that we no longer have privacy in our person?
Right.
At what point is that?
Exactly. And, you know, as we watch this, and I can almost imagine right now, because of the people we have a government, you know, yeah, China, no problem. Here's our files. Can we have some of yours? Oh, we'll get it to you in 75 years. Okay, we'll wait. I mean, that's almost what it sounds, you know, what I expect is going on.
Right. And so, I mean, I think this is an end run regarding, you know, our constitutional rights, period. And I don't think that they can, it's antithetical to the concept of privacy in our person. And, you know, I do understand that when you put your trash out on the curb, then it's open game for the public. I get that. That doesn't hurt my head. But for the state to then be able to track you regardless, I mean, this concept of having to have a warrant to be able to monitor you and to monitor what you're doing at all times so that they can basically, you know, write you a ticket and or, you know, charge you with a crime constantly. I mean, that's a level of a police state that I think it goes way outside. It's 180 from what the framers' intent was with the Constitution.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so... As this starts to move forward, and this, you just had a meeting. I think you said it was last week, or was it this week?
It was last Monday.
Last Monday. Okay, so this was just opening the can of worms then.
Yeah. I just now, I mean, you're literally catching me just a matter of days after I have the opportunity to even be exposed to this information, which is why it's so fresh in my head at the moment, too. But, like I said, the moment I heard this, actually I heard about it last week, and so sat down with Jessica Alexander this morning, and she and I were supposed to be at another meeting together anyway, and she actually let other folks at this other meeting also know all about what was going on, and Rick was one of those people there, and he seemed to have more details and on the companies and all that than anybody. And so that's why I turned to Rick, who's actually a longtime friend, and you know, and he used to be a journalist long ago, and he did that kind of a side thing. He also used to be a federal officer, and I just said, hey man, you know, I know you got the journalistic thing going on, you know, give me what you got because I want to write an article on this, and because he wants to write a local article, and then I want to get it out to, you know, places where I know it'll get more exposure. Like I've been writing for Canada Free Press for like since 2009. So, and you know, my articles get on Whatfinger and every once in a while, you know, some of the other aggregators, even Drudge long ago, but I doubt it now.
Yeah, so
I want to get this out there.
Some questions that I have is how many cities, because I can't believe Temecula is the first.
No, and there is, and according to Rick, there's a number of cities. I just haven't gotten the list yet.
We need to see that list. As a matter of fact, that actually needs to get out into social media for a shame list, a shame on all of these cities and if there's any states that are actually embracing this. Because as I understand it, this last session, there have been states, and surprisingly, Oklahoma was looking at some states that were opening the door for the Real ID Act and to basically marry this type of thing. So, you know, a camera surveillance system for the entire state. And so they were kind of laying the foundation in Oklahoma, which is, you know, that turns your head to think that here's Oklahoma. This, I mean, they've been leading in a lot of conservative things, and then they slip this thing in?
Right.
And so what we really need to do is we really need to get the word out so that we can start shaming and getting people up in arms, because bottom line, once they start installing these systems, it's just a matter of whoever takes over and who controls it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, folks, you watch these movies where, you know, like Enemy of the State or The Net, or, you know, with you know, some of these movies that we've seen in the past, you know, on the, they're using the computers and they're tracking you and they're shutting down your checking account and their, you know, car suddenly appears where you were and you thought you were away and all that. I mean, that's what we're looking at.
So the other question is, how is the surveillance being done? In other words, is it just a single room where they're going to employ people? Because, see, really bottom line, and this is what I tell people all the time, the hardware is cheap. It doesn't matter what the cost of the hardware is. It's that labor, or you know what? And this is where it gets really cheap, because they're going to say, oh, well, this won't require very many people because we're just going to run it through software. And that's where this is where they start injecting this artificial intelligence and this basically this tracking system that they've developed. And the companies that developed this are U.S. tech companies that went into China to help them create their surveillance state. Google, Apple, and the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
So I think the two main questions is, what is that full list? And then how, and who's watching, you know, who are the watchers? And then who's watching the watchers?
Right. Well, I guarantee you, you know, because, and you made the connection with the real ID. I guarantee you, this has given the Chinese communists, you know, easy windows into all of America.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is, do you know Mark Lerner with the Constitutional Alliance?
No.
So what I'm going to do is, once we're done, I'm going to send an email to Mark introducing you to him, because he wants, because if you want to get somebody in an organization that has some reach and some teeth, because their focus has been fighting the Real ID Act. And, you know, we started working together with doing, and actually he helped me with this legislation in Wyoming, but his focus, again, is very myopic and just stopping the mark of the beast from moving forward. And so what I'll do is I'll get you guys in contact so that he can actually get his arms around this, because I think he'll be the one that can expose the cities that, and a lot of these other details, because they've been doing this for a while. And as they start connecting the dots, you know, the tentacles go out further and further, they seem to be able to get that information. So what I'll do is I'll send that email. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to finding out more details as you find them out, though. But folks, this is huge. This is really huge that U.S. cities are already deploying and laying the foundation for Big Brother and, you know, 666. It's closer than you think. Anyway, anything else to add, Doug?
Not on this yet, but I'm definitely going to be getting more information, and I'm, because, like I said, this is a big deal to me, not only because of who I am, Mr. Constitution, all that jazz, but because this is on my back step. And what's interesting, and I've noticed that Communist China is doing the same thing that Islam has done. They don't want to just go anywhere. They target the areas they know are the areas that I think are going to stand against them. This is a very conservative area. Why Temecula?
Right.
You know, so I really think it is because it's a very conservative area. Not that I'm saying that it wouldn't be in something like LA. I'm sure it's in those places too. But I think they're right now, they are carefully picking their targets. Eventually, of course, they want to, like with Real ID, get everybody into compliance. And what's here, and actually now I do have one more thing. The city of Murrieta, years back, pre-COVID, used the courts to get rid of the stoplight cameras. But the argument they were using is that the stoplight cameras were on 24/7, and they were being used for surveillance, and that's what actually got our win. Uh-huh. And so I'm in touch with a couple people too, Diana for one, she's since moved to Idaho, to get that information so we can figure out, is there a way to litigate this and win, to right. stop it and make it, get, you know, if ever it does get reversed, well, I don't know if it can be reversed, but at least, you know, slow it down, because they did it with the cameras. And there's legal precedent.
Okay, so my injection is that what should happen, this is a perfect point for a First Amendment petition, getting people in the city of Temecula aware of this by having them sign petitions and say, do you know Big Brother is being installed and being implemented right here in Temecula? And people are going to go, what? And then you have them sign this First Amendment petition. And so here's the thing about a First Amendment petition. First off, the people that can sign it are U.S. citizens. You don't have to be a registered voter, and you don't even have to actually live in that area. So you can get all the, because a U.S. citizen has the right to petition any public servant and call them out for violating their constitutional rights, whether they live in that state or not. And so when they violate the Constitution, you have a right to call them out, and you have a right to use the First Amendment petition for the redress of grievances, to call them out and say, you need to behave. And so all you have to do is be a U.S. citizen. And then when you petition them, they can't limit you to 2 minutes. If they limit you to 2 minutes, then now you have another petition and another grievance to say, I have a right to petition, and you can't, there, you cannot pass any law that abridges this right. You can't limit it by 2 minutes. You can't create a style. You can't create a form. You can't dictate how I'm going to do this. So I would actually start right now, because this is where the constitutional counties start beginning to plant their seeds and nourishing, where you can do this, and this becomes your educational reach out. You get people more engaged, because as you get one petition, it begets other petitions, because like I said, next thing you know, they're not going to listen to your petitions. They're going to try to deny you these rights. And then mm-hmm. you've got more petitions, and then more and more and more. And then when it comes up to the election for every single one of these councilmen, in every town hall meeting and every time they're standing in front of the people, you need to get people to yell out, why do you deserve a vote? You ignore our rights and you're doing everything. You're not representing us. You're doing everything that's violating our constitutional rights. You need to go and get people. It becomes the mantra, because I believe every red-blooded American wants their public servants to protect their rights.
I think this is a multi-angle punch that we need to be making. I agree with you 100%. The reason why I'm talking about the litigation, too, is because what happens when something's litigated, if you do it right, whether you're able to get far or not, it also is a way to make the public aware. Because one of the things that happens is the mainstream's not going to pick this up. But if something's in the courts and something happens that's a big blow-up, sometimes they don't have a choice. It's like even now, finally Washington Post people like that are finally starting to say something about Hunter's laptop. Well, because there's been some blow-ups that they kind of don't have a choice now. Enough people know about it. They're saying, hey, why aren't you talking about this? And then they're kind of forced into that corner. And that's what I'm wanting to do also. That's because, like I tell people, when it comes to litigation, I don't expect to win in the court of law. But what I expect is that the court of public opinion will find out about it. That's the court I care about.
Yeah, so being out at the grocery stores in Southern California, that's how you're going to get more and more people engaged, getting them more involved, and they're going to let everybody else know in the community. Sure. And so that's really creating, I'll just say, the fire. Well, you're absolutely right, but what it does is it starts actually growing your organization, because when people start realizing this is happening, they realize all these other things, and they start learning when the power of the First Amendment petition, then they start learning about the Constitution and these other things. Like that invasion and Article 4 and Section 4 of Article 4, those types of things. And so this is how you grow your organization, by using First Amendment petitions. This is rebuilding the community and getting community involvement again.
Right.
Right. So anyway, appreciate your time. I'm going to get back to the show, but I'll ask you to hold over so that we can talk further. So folks, we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So, folks, I can't marginalize the importance of that information. What I believe is really important is you actually need to start looking, because do you live in a red state? Have they started installing monitoring, or what they want to call security or surveillance cameras, in your progressive little cities, or maybe even what you would consider a conservative city? I am telling you that this happened in Temecula, in a what you can proudly say a conservative county. Folks, quit playing this game of trying to label or create these things that are, you know, what you want to call good, when they actually take you away. They're divisive and they take you away from what we really need to be focusing on, which is the Constitution. When you deal in your daily lives regarding, you know, normal things, as a Christian, you try to focus on Christianity and those types of things. As an American, you need to focus on the Constitution. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a good Christian and a patriot supporting the Constitution. But there is something wrong with being a patriot and, as a good Christian, trying to inject some Christian paradigms or doctrines into law that is not within the Constitution. Now, how do we do that? Now, the federal government has limited powers, and this is, I'll stress this, they have enumerated powers. If it is not listed, they can't do it. In other words, they could easily go out and control pornography and shut down pornography. But they can't, because it's not enumerated. You want them to do that, then you have to amend the Constitution. That would be a good thing, maybe, but it opens the door for them to control other things. However, your state, remember, those things not formally delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states and the people. So, now, if it's not delegated to the federal government, we have to now go look over here at the state and say, is this power in the state constitution? If it's not, then the state can't do it. To be clear, if you want the state to control what we would call and create a decency law, because many states actually had these types of things. They actually had decency laws, and I'm going to tell you, they do have decency laws. But if you want them to actually control pornography and ensure decency on the web, you have to amend the Constitution for your state to do that. What's more important is that your county should be more representative of what you want your government to be. Remember, it's a distributive government, and the government that is closest to you should have most of the power to be able to do the things that you would like. This creates a petri dish, or I should say, a very broad, multifaceted petri dish across this nation with almost 5,000 or some odd counties, however many thousands of counties we have. It allows all of these different counties to try different things in how they want to govern, as long as they don't violate the Constitution. When I tell people, as a matter of fact, I had this conversation with a good patriot, really good patriot, regarding the ability to regulate the press. and putting it in context of actually controlling Facebook from being able to shut people down for actually reporting or, you know, providing input or posting an article or a story, things that, you know, don't even come close to, you know, obscenities or those types of things. It's information that they want to suppress and they want to control. Well, if they're going to do that, because, and I explained to this good man that the freedom of the press has to be defined. And as a matter of fact, to be clear about this, the states have the authority, because freedom of the press is not actually applied. That portion of the Bill of Rights is not applied to the states, and I've covered this several times, because the press is what we determine as a platform. In other words, CBS, New York Times, so forth and so on, these papers, television stations, and so forth, like even Facebook, these are platforms. They're not necessarily the press. And so the states need to redefine what the freedom of the press is, because when you look at the privileges and immunities of an individual citizen, every citizen has a right to assemble. Every citizen has a right to express themselves. Every citizen has a right to petition government. And they can do that as an assembled body. That's what we're trying to get you to do, is use your rights of assembly and petition and start uniting and demanding your public servants be held accountable. Now, when we look at the press and the reporting, if that is an individual doing that and they're using a platform and the platform shuts you down, then the platform is actually denying that individual right of reporting. So this individual that I was talking to says, you know, that's going into the public sector and we shouldn't be doing that. And I said, hold on a second. This is about protecting the very specific rights, not necessarily trying to control a market, trying to tell, you know, a company how to do their job. But a company cannot silence and actually deny people their inalienable rights. This nation has to actually stand and defend the rights of the people. You may not like the message of somebody, you know, such as a communist actually out there spewing and you know, promoting communism in Facebook. They'll never shut them down, but they will shut you down. Now, I believe that if you actually have the honest dialogue between liberty and communism, it's a done deal. You're going to win this argument every time. And so we have to start looking at things in a constitutional context. Is the power delegated? If not, or is the power or right reserved? If it is, then we have to respect those things. The mechanism of change in a constitutional republic is a constitutional amendment. And what I said by amendment does not include a constitutional convention. It is not a COS. A COS is a much more dangerous thing than, and we get into that as well. But what I want to do today, what I want to try to do today, is I actually want to try to do something that I haven't done yet. And and so this is kind of interesting. We're going to try this, because what I want to do is I want to play some music as I try to speak to these ideas and try to speak to what I'm trying to convey. Most people have probably heard this song. And this song is an old song, but it has to speak to, you know, America, American values, and what the heck's going on here. And as a matter of fact, it really speaks to a very particular instance, and this is Don McLean and Bye Bye Miss American Pie. And so let me turn the volume down real quick. This was a very specific event when Buddy Holly, and I forget who else was on the plane, when they died. And this guy really felt that that was the day music died, because apparently he had this huge affinity. But he's making a very philosophical statement in how, you know, we're migrating in this paradigm or culture with music, with controls, manipulations, but he doesn't get into that necessary context. But I am here to tell you that this is where we are in political space. And to me, it is very saddening when we look at what is going on regarding our Constitution and the fact that it is being suppressed by even conservatives. when conservatives are actually out there telling you that your right to bear arms is the most important right, that they have to support these things, and they're ignoring even a more important right, your right of conscience. They're ignoring even a more important right, your right of petition. Because if there's anything within the Constitution that actually gives you a weapon or a tool in your hand in holding federal government or your public servants accountable, that is your right of petition. And it is clear what we see today in our society throughout America is they have completely marginalized this, and they've convinced you that you have to go out and rally and protest and actually break the law in civil disobedience to be heard. They've got you to surrender this right in standing in front of your public servants and putting your finger in their face and saying, you have no right to do these things. And hold them accountable and demand that they actually redress your grievances. And if not, my friends, if they fail to redress your grievances, then they must be removed, because their oath of office states that they must support the Constitution. In Wyoming, their oath of office requires them to not only support, but to defend and obey the Constitution. And so we can't cherry pick. It is a sad day in America when we've really boiled down your rights to being gun rights or your rights to being the right of life to one little myopic issue. This is an indictment, because these are divisive issues that divide us and get us to argue which is the most important. If you want to argue what is the most important facet or part of the Constitution, clearly, I will tell you time and time again, it is Article 7, because Article 7 is what identifies exactly what the Constitution is and who are the sovereigns over this Constitution, who are the parties to it, and the power that these parties or these sovereigns have. As you start walking through this macro view of this enumerated Constitution, you will start seeing that there are so many things within this Constitution that are so beautiful that it protects us. Like the right, or the protection of bills of attainder that states and the federal government can't create laws that are bills of attainder, but they're doing it right now. I pointed out to you that every time they create a law that punishes a group of people, whether, you know, they're punishing the unvaccinated people, that is a bill of attainder. Or ex post facto laws where something is absolutely legal and then they've turned around and make it illegal and they come after you. They can't do these things. It's strictly in the Constitution, and they're forbidden to be able to create ex post facto laws and bills of attainder. But hey, that doesn't matter. What matters is you got a gun in your hand, and we're going to make sure you still keep that gun as you see every single right stripped from you except for that gun. I'm telling you, folks, the fact is that you need to understand this right of assembly. You don't need to assemble in America today with guns. We first have to assemble and get people onto the same page. We have to unite so that everybody understands their rights of petition, their rights of assembly, these fundamental rights, and these protections and immunities from bills of attainder, ex post facto laws, and so forth. As we start to understand what they can do and how they can do it, then we can hold them accountable. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that we have been blessed upon this, based upon this Constitution, this nation has been blessed well beyond any other nation ever to be erected on the face of this earth in its entire history. And I am telling you, folks, that we are at the precipice of losing this very said Constitution. If you want to start understanding these issues, when we get to that point, we're going to be going through those starting on Monday. Now, and as you read these things, I haven't got them posted yet, but as you read these things, I want you to keep this into context. GR is not the king. You may not like some things that I'm poking out there, but that's okay. I'm just trying to stir you in challenging your paradigm and trying to get you to at least engage in the conversation whether that's, you know, changing our penal system, changing our legal system, those types of things. So, as we kind of move forward with this show, we want to take you back so that the songs like this or this very specific message will no longer be applicable, that we'll actually start breathing life back into this republic. What we want to do is we actually want to see America taking a stand. We want to see the states reasserting their sovereignty. You hear all of these candidates out there basically claiming that they need to reassert their sovereignty. The states need to reassert sovereignty, right? Now, how many times do we hear this concept coming out? And I see it all the time. I see this coming from what we'll call governor candidates. We'll call them attorney generals. It doesn't matter. When they start telling you that they want to reassert sovereignty, there is a very specific process of doing that. And I want you to understand that a single state cannot assert its sovereignty. All of the states have been stripped their sovereignty, or what has been perceived as the federal government is no longer recognizing their sovereignty, and they're basically plowing over and they're bulldozing over all of the states, and the states are not doing anything. If a state is going to assert its sovereignty, to be very responsive to some of the criticism that I've received regarding conservative candidates in Idaho and across this nation, my point is this. They have to put aside their special interests. They have to put aside their differences. And we have to start working together as states to work together in demanding and reaffirming and taking back our sovereignty. I challenge everybody to read Madison's report on the Virginia Resolutions of 1800. Once you've read that, then you need to read his notes on nullification of 1834. This is very clear that a single state cannot just on their own assert their sovereignty. They have to do this with the other states. We need a union of states, and we don't need unanimity. We do not need to unite all of the states. We only need to have a majority. When I say a majority, I mean a significant majority, not just 50% plus one. We need to have enough majority to where we control both houses of the House and Senate of Congress. Once we control our representation, in other words, once we have enough states that actually can force their representation into compliance, and the way they do that is by recalling them, not by recalling them via an election, but by the attorney generals charging them with treason and to face trial in the state for these charges. And while they're being extradited, removed, and brought back to be tried for treason, they will be replaced with people that are willing to actually support the Constitution and do their job in getting the federal government back into its subjective, or I should say, subjugated role under the states. Now, obviously, there's a phone in here that somebody had left in my office. I've got it muted. We're good now. Actually, that's a really important call, so I'll have to call Crystal Blessings back. Anyway, so what we have to put into context when we're looking at this thing called republicanism, and as a matter of fact, I just realized we're out of time. And so here we go, folks. We will be back. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic and we'll be back with all of these issues to go through. I apologize for losing track of time. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.